ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Yesterday, in the course of two talks, I spoke on the topic of the 24 gurus mentioned by the Avadhut as described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I mentioned the first five, the five gross elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether or sky. I was just thinking how this Brahmachari traveling group has come, how like the sky or the wind blows everywhere, but doesn't become involved with anything anywhere. So Brahmachari traveling party is very much like that. Move here and there, but not becoming entangled anywhere. As in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, in describing another set of 24, I believe it is, the elements which are favorable for the cultivation of knowledge, he says, Aniketa Stiramatihi, to not have a home, to not be fixed in one place, but at the same time, stiramatihi, not stuck in one place, but with one's mind fixed, not one's body fixed. One's mind is, mati, not really mind, can be translated in different ways. One's attention, the focus of one's life is fixed. The Brahmachari traveling preacher also has to have the quality of the earth. The earth has so many qualities, but especially the Avadhut has described the quality of tolerance, the home for the Grihastha. It's like a prison. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that, Aniketa. And in the purport to one of the verses, Srila Prabhupada talks about Maitunya Agara, that he quotes from one of the Upanishads, I believe it is, that this material world is the prison of sex life. And so people may think, where's the prison? We move around, we go here and there, but he's imprisoned by the home is his prison. He thinks it's very nice for me, but he has to work hard to maintain all of that. And his consciousness, which is meant to soar up to the spiritual world, to Krishna, Om Tad Vishnu Paramang Padang Sada Pashyanti Suryo Diviva Chakshuratatam. The consciousness is supposed to soar up to Vishnu in the spiritual world. It's kept in that, in the walls of the house, which he thinks is my home. In this way, he's tied up in thinking of me and my in terms of his body and his home. So we don't see, there's no visible shackles for the householder, but he's tied to the ties of false affection, thinking that my family members love me, my dog loves me, but there's no real love, there's no real joy, there's no real happiness. But what is very real is birth, death, old age, and disease. So knowing this, one should study these descriptions, just like here in the Bhagavatam, the description of the 24 gurus, the earth is very tolerant. The earth is the symbol of tolerance. Now, the home, the prison that is the home, that is set up to the greatest extent possible by the householder to be a place for his sense gratification and his comfort. Therefore, people dream of having big homes with lots of rooms and many servants, which brings prestige. And in so many rooms, they may have a gymnasium in their home, different rooms for different things, a room just for the woman to, one whole room for the woman of the lady of the house to keep her clothes. When you get very rich, then the lady doesn't just have a wardrobe, but she has a whole room, or maybe even more than one room. Big room and so many hundreds of saris or whatever it may be. As the traveling brahmachari, he can't have many possessions because there's too much to carry around here and there. Just whatever he can fit in a bag. And the avadhut, he didn't have any possessions. He didn't even have any clothes. Just lying on the ground. That's all. So a symbol of tolerance because we can remember the earth for tolerance because traveling here and there, we're traveling with a purpose, not just traveling, not just going here and there. The wind may blow here and there without any particular or apparent purpose, but devotees engaged in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, performing Harinam Sankirtan here and there, arranging programs for presenting to the public Krishna consciousness. They're moving with a purpose and they don't move thinking that, well, where I go, let me find the most comfortable place. If you want comfort, then you have to live at, you set up a place at home as far as you can to facilitate your own comfort. But there's no guarantee even in any place that you'll get a place to stay, or maybe very crowded and not much facility and not much food or no arrangement for making nice dishes, whatever food is available there. But actually this is a great opportunity to make a lot of spiritual advancement by getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Prabhavishnu Brahmachari at that time, who was traveling throughout the British Isles doing this kind of program. With others, of course, he was leading up a party, distributing books, holding programs in schools and wherever they could make programs. And Srila Prabhupada said that one day of being engaged in this Sankirtan activities, that is worth more than many thousands of years of the yogis. The yogis also try to develop tolerance, equanimity, by leaving the world, going away. Monam charanti vijane naparartha nishtaha. They observe vows of silence and live away from the people. But they're not interested in the welfare of others. So what they try to become tolerant of difficulties by sitting in cold water and meditating in the winter and sitting surrounded by fire under the fire of this beating, burning sun in the summer. This way they try to develop detachment from worldly comfort. But the devotee automatically, the devotee who's traveling and preaching like this automatically gets that without even having to try or think about it. It just comes naturally. It's not that the devotee thinks, oh, now let me try and develop tolerance. But he has to, his service is there. And if he becomes upset because, oh, this room's not big enough, or there's this disturbance, that disturbance, then he can't go on with his service. And his service is to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission by bringing Krishna consciousness to every town and village. Of course, he can't personally go to every town and village, but within his scope, he does what he can. So in this way, he makes more advancement than the yogi, not just because he's practically practicing tolerance and of adverse conditions. It means adverse for sense gratification. Not really adverse at all. Actually favorable for spiritual advancement. But because he's concentrated on Krishna. And Krishna, after all, is the goal of all Vedic activities. Vasudeva para yoga. Yoga. Vasudeva para makaha. There's that whole list. Does anyone know that verse? Anyone? I memorized it many years ago. I haven't revised it. Vasudeva, Krishna is the goal of yoga. Vasudeva is the goal of makha, means sacrifices. What's the next line? Don't know. Vasudeva parangyanam, Vasudeva parangtapaha. The highest knowledge, the highest austerity. Do you know more? Vasudeva paro dharmo, the highest dharma is to worship Vasudeva. You have to say it a little louder. Parakriya, yeah, the goal of all, the supreme activity is to worship Vasudeva. And then there's one more line, then Vasudeva paramgatihi, the goal, the highest goal of life is Vasudeva, Krishna. So let's move on to the next one. Oh, the moon. What we can learn from the moon. Krishna's often compared to the moon. Krishna Chandra, Govinda Chandra, Gaura Chandra. But here the example of the moon is given that one unique feature of the moon, as far as I know, I haven't studied astronomy, but as far as I know, it's a unique feature of the moon that among all the heavenly bodies, that it appears to wax and wane. Do you know these words? The moon waxing means, from our vision, getting bigger, and waning means growing smaller. So now we're in the Krishna Paksha, the waning phase. So the example, this is given here to demonstrate that although the moon appears to change, it doesn't actually change. So in the same way, our bodies go through various changes. Sharavika, that means there is birth, growth, staying in that position for some time. That means once the body stops growing around the age of, what, about 18 or something, 20 maybe. I think it happens later for boys than for girls. Then it goes on for some time, and then you start to notice it's waning. Oh, no, no, it goes stable sometime, produces other bodies by having sex. Then it's waning after some time, and then death. So these are the six transformations of the body. But one should know that just like the moon is not affected by these changes, the soul is also not. We don't have anything to do with this body or the changes of it. Now, we should know that this body is temporary. Everyone knows. But to be in the consciousness of that, it's more difficult in youth, in childhood and youth, not only because one is less educated spiritually, generally, in childhood and youth, but because generally by the power of Maya, it makes it seem that the body is very strong. You can do anything. You can jump and run and laugh and dance. Even though you see around you old people walking with sticks, by the power of Maya, they think, I can't imagine that happening to me. And even when people are older, they still think that they're young, in many cases. It's very common that an older person, say 50 or 60 years old, someone invites them, oh, you come and play a game of tennis. And they think, yeah, okay, I didn't play tennis for a long time, I'll go and play. And they don't take into account that their body is not in the same shape that it was 30 years ago. And so they go and start pounding the ball, and all of a sudden they get a big pain as their muscle rips or their ligament rips or whatever. And because they feel, yeah, I'm young, I can do it, but they're not. So a wise person sees that with the phases of the moon, it's a lesson for us. We grow, get a little bigger, a little bigger, a little bigger, then we start to decline. And of course the moon comes back again, but we don't. We do, but not the body. The body dies. The sun is also a measure of time, the movement of the sun in one day. That's mentioned in Udyanastan Chayanaso. How does that verse begin? Tasyarte Yakshanonita. How does that verse begin? Uttama Shloka Bharati. I got three lines. What's the first line of that? Anyone know? Second canto. Find that out. He can't hear. Tasyarte Yakshanonita. Uttama Shloka Bharataya. Ayo Harati Vai Pung San Udan Yastan Chayana Sao Tasyate Yakshano Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Ayo Harati, we're in the Purnayu hospital, full life means full life, but Ayo, life, Ayurveda, the knowledge of life. Ayo Harati takes away by certainly pungsam of a person. Ayoharati by pungsam udyanastan chayana. The sun by rising and setting is taking away our lifespan. Except for those who engage their lives in glorifying or discussing Krishna. We also, the body gets old, but we're rushing toward Krishna. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Udita tapana hoilo ashta, din gelo bole hoi bebasta, tobe keno ebe alasha hoi nabhaja hridaya raje. He says, everyone sees in the morning the sun has risen. We're not seeing here because of so much mist. The sun has risen. We know the sun has risen because there's light here and there. Light. But we can't see the sun at all. It's completely enshrouded in mist. And then we get another example. Nihara Miva Bhaskara. After some time we know the sun will the heat of the sun as he comes up will dispel the mist. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you see, people say, oh, the sun has risen, as the sun has set. Now the daytime has come, time to get busy. Just like these people are moving back and forward in their cars and auto rickshaws. They're getting time, busy time, daytime, morning time. People get up and are busy. But then Bhaktivinoda says, why then are you lazy in the matter of worshipping the Lord of the heart? Why don't you worship Krishna? That would be a better use of time. So the next example given by the Avadhuta is the sun. Actually, there are many, 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 many examples given in Shastra about the sun. The one given here is that the sun, just like the sun evaporates water and then gives it back. So in the same way, a saintly person can accept a gift and then give it to someone else, or accept something with his senses, but gives back also. Just like it's a culture, part of the culture in this country, that saintly persons, you should give something to them, for them to eat at least. But they don't just eat, they have to give something back. They give back spiritual knowledge. There we are, the sun's just making his appearance. Can't see exactly because of this roof. So saintly persons accept things from others and then give spiritual knowledge. Give something back to society. Give something back, not only to the people who may feed him or offer some gift, but they, just like the sun gives light everywhere to the pious and the impious, so the saintly person gives spiritual knowledge to everyone, although generally the more he's ready to give to everyone. Now, the sun evaporates water and gives back water, but is not entangled with the water. He remains aloof from that. So in the same way, a saintly person may take something from others, but doesn't become entangled. He's very careful. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he recounted that shortly before he left India to go to the West, some rich man, I believe it was Dalmia, part of the one of the famous business families in India still, right? Dalmia Cement, for instance. He had offered Srila Prabhupada that within the garden of his house, he'll make a little cottage for Prabhupada and he can sit and write his books, Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada thought, that would be very convenient for writing my books. He'll provide everything, I'll sit and do my typing, and I'll produce my books. But he thought, no, it's not, Srila Prabhupada recalled, no, it's not good to become dependent upon a materialist. So he didn't do that. The saintly person should be careful to remain aloof, just like the sun is aloof, 93 million miles aloof. Another example given here in this section of Bhagavatam, and again, there are many, many, many examples. If we want to cite the sun, examples given in Shastra and by Acharyas. So the sun is reflected in many objects, but remains the same. So this example is just like if there's, yeah, there's been so much still ongoing rain, huh? The monsoon didn't finish here, it seems. So there may be a puddle on that side and a puddle on that side, and the sun will be reflected in both of them. And the sun will be, and on one window, the sun will be reflected on another window. But the sun is one, but appears in many places. So that example is given elsewhere in the Bhagavatam and as an example of the Paramatma who is present in one place, but is simultaneously manifest in many hearts. And here in this section of the Bhagavatam, the example is given that the soul is reflected, enters many bodies. Of course, not all simultaneously. But the Paramatma is with every body. Paramatma is in every body. Although he's aloof, he's not entangled there. He has his own existence beyond. It's not that he needs a body to enter into. Out of his kindness, he does so. Hare Krishna. We'll continue tomorrow. No, this evening, Krishna willing. All right, Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Can everyone here follow? Can you hear is the first thing with all this background noise? Everyone can follow English well enough? All right then, we'll finish. Hare Krishna.